September 11, 2022, it's live for Pedro Show.
change now. Just think about everyone who came before to take you out.
Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. Started off with John Coltrane doing My Favorite Things live at Newport. And then Nina Diaz, Give It All You Got. And because of those Estonian software engineers, their Skype invention, I got Nina Diaz right here. Welcome aboard, Nina.
Hello, thank you for having me back again, man.
Yep. So tell me about what's been going on music.
Well, I just released this new album that I completely engineered and produced it, and I pushed all the buttons, and I totally just jumped into this new role of a studio engineer, man. And it just came out. And it's crazy. Like, COVID brought this other side of me of all that downtime. I feel like I would have eventually gotten to this point, but all that downtime got me there faster, you know?
With the engineering or the music or both?
The engineering, really. Because, I mean, I was kind of writing music already. But to just jump into the chair of the producer-engineer, I didn't think that I would have the confidence to do that so fast.
Well, how did it happen?
I was kind of already getting ready to record a second solo album before COVID hit. And I went to a studio here in L.A. while I was living here. And then when COVID hit, you know, all my money was gone. A lot of musicians, you know, we got gigs that were canceled. And when I got the unemployment stuff, I actually just decided to just self-invest in, like, a decent, you know, studio setup, and I had started to do commission cover songs as a way to get some extra cash from fans, and that slowly, like, cover songs that I recorded from home using GarageBand, and that was my way of, like, kind of easing into it until finally I realized, you know what, why don't I just make my record from home? I totally have all this technology at my fingertips, I'd be silly not to utilize it.
And so you turn one of the rooms that you pad into a studio?
Yeah, because so when I moved back from L.A., I was living here for a minute and then moved back to San Antonio in my parents' house, actually, and right before COVID hit. And it's a nice, spacious house, my parents' house. Like, I kind of have, like, the east wing. And the space that was usually the practice, you know, rehearsal space, I just built, you know, a miniature kind of studio vibe, put some padding. I got my speakers tuned to the room properly. And then I got a really cool interface, a Universal Audio Apollo interface, which is a whole studio within itself. And I YouTubed a bunch of videos. YouTube was like my professor. So I just learned from there and then just remembered things that I had done in the past and all the different studios that I had been in.
And now you were going to record anyway, so you had a collection of songs?
I had at least three to start with. But then once I started to get this confidence in recording myself, it's like it released this other thing that might have been blocked in my mind creatively. And all the other songs just kind of flowed in. And I even listened to past ideas, because I record any little thing that I have, like even if it's a second of an idea, I record it either on my phone or my tape recorder, because you never know, that can turn into something later. So I would listen to some of those. And because of all those cover songs I did a wide range of songs, from like Taylor Swift to Led Zeppelin to PJ Harvey. It's like I went to college music school. So I was able to dissect the formula for what kind of song I wanted to achieve. So when it came to applying that to my own music, it was like so fast when I realized, oh, I just got to snip this here, put that there. And like within one day, I finished six songs as far as the structure, and then rounded it out with the bass and the drums. It happened very, very organically and naturally to me because I just got out of my own way.
And when you did the cover songs, how were they chosen, the listeners?
So, yeah, I put it out to my fans on my social media that, if y'all are interested in me covering a song for y'all, a commissioned, personalized cover just for you, I record it from home, email you an MP3, whatever song, I'll give it a try. And so I only expected to do like a handful of them, but to this point now, because I still do it today for like extra cash and stuff, I've done probably like close to like 200 cover songs, like a variety of artists.
Whoa. In two or three years?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been working, like sometimes I'm like working 72 hours, you know. My time schedule is just like, and I'm not mad at myself anymore for not having a certain schedule. Because it is what it is, right? Like, I just listen to my body. If it's, like, time to sleep, then I sleep. But I'm just constantly just recording or just researching and just trying to better myself as a musician and as an engineer now.
And, producer also, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, producing was something that I kind of already had done, because every Girl in a Coma album and even my first solo record, I would pre-produce the album before I'd go into the actual studio. I'd have all the ideas there, and then, of course, leave space for whatever the producer would bring in. But that was already something that was kind of ingrained inside of my brain. But now to know how to push the buttons of what I want to achieve has just opened up so many avenues for me.
And what about the instruments and all that?
So I'm grateful that I have a hookup with Fender, that I get half off, you know, like on basses and guitars. So I just snagged myself a bass, and I got myself another guitar, and I have some amps already at home. Bass kind of came naturally for me to play. I feel like sometimes it is natural. If you play guitar, you can play bass. But you could definitely tell the difference between somebody that's like a bass player and somebody that's a guitar player playing bass. It's a certain melodic way, I think, that the guitar players will approach the bass, at least from my opinion. And with the technology I have with the drum machine and with synthesizers, all I need is just a MIDI keyboard and just to know how to manipulate whatever sound I'm trying to achieve. And there you go. You know, I got it. And then at that time, Jorge was living with me and he plays drums. So the ideas I had for drums, I just explained it to him and he laid it down for me.
You mean you would make like a little demo with a drum machine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah. I would just do a sketch of a drum beat of this is what I'm thinking. And then when I have him there doing the live things, it's, of course, it sounds different, right, if it's a drum machine as opposed to an actual live drum. Yeah. So I would just adjust things to fit the vibe. And even with the recording process, you know how usually it's you lay down the drums first and, like, on top of, like, the scratch guitar or scratch bass or scratch vocals. We actually did it in reverse where I laid down the scratch instruments and then the real guitar, real bass, vocals, you know, scratch vocals, because he played to a click track. So I actually wanted him to play to me rather than me play to him. So he went to, like, towards my energy of the recording. And it worked out. You know, that was a different way of recording, but it worked out for what I needed to achieve for the album.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the click track probably went down first, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. I figure that's the thing, too, man. Like, I was able to try out different speeds of the songs before I came with, like, some of them were much faster, some of them were too slow. I was able to take my time having my home studio, because usually when you're in a studio space, right, you have a crunch of time. You're paying for every single minute that you're in there. So here, I was able to not give myself so much where I'm, like, super lazy about things, but enough to know, okay, you're in charge. Take your time. What speed do you like? And then I'd get that click track, I'd get the vibe that I wanted, and then I'd lay down the scratch guitar, the scratch bass, scratch vocals, and then I did the real bass, the real guitar, he did the drums, and then I laid down the little synths and all that other stuff, all the other little ear candy things.
Did you make demos before that, or the demos became the song?
The demos pretty much became the songs. Yeah, because like I said, I only had maybe about three out of all the songs on the album pretty much sketched out in a demo form already. Everything else was kind of like straight, like one day it's a demo, the next day it's the actual song.
Yeah, Joey Warnicker was on the show and he said, recording with Pete Townsend, you actually played in a demo. He replaces all the scratch things with the real things. But it's not like people are listening to another take. It is the take.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, that's why I was really looking forward and excited to making my album from home, because I feel like all my demos in the past have captured a certain energy and vibe that, and I love my albums that I've made. You know, I think they're cool, but there's something different about those demos that I think it's also because it's just you, right? Because sometimes when you're in the studio, there's the producer, there's maybe there's a manager or whoever else, like their energy affects the vibe, and it's almost like you're performing to them rather than performing for what the song really needs. And in this case, I was able to get that demo vibe and energy and sprinkle on a little bit of that professional, like rounded out sound that you usually achieve when you're in like a studio. But now I'm like, hey, like I have an actual studio, like it's a functioning, you know, I'm actually going to be recording an artist when I get back to San Antonio, and I plan to just keep growing my studio, Beat Girl Productions, that's what I'm calling it, so I can bring in artists to have like a, I love that it's in my mom's house because it has this homey vibe, so it's not so like intimidating, and that's what I want to, I want to just bring out the best and natural raw energy from anybody that I record, because I know that that's what I did for myself with this album.
Right. I want to play, All the World's a Stage.
Yeah. Thank you. Get away. taking a step into what we need. Take a deep breath and then try to see.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music. Started off with All the World's a Stage, Nina Diaz. Epalu Tattoo with Suto Toy. Pardon. Sun Cabin, Inverted Lamb. Matt Nelson, Thaddeus Brown with Shards Softened by Time. Shiverboard with Make Sense. And Getaway from Nina Diaz. Getaway is also the title. You can't copyright a song title. Getaway is also the title of a Flipper song, and I'm going to play the Flipper tonight in San Diego. And but tell me about these songs. Tell me about Getaway.
Getaway is one of the songs that was already written. You know how I mentioned there was just a handful of them that were already written. I wrote that one while I was living here in L.A., and you know, that's the classic case where you think, oh, I'm going to move somewhere else and that's going to change everything. I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to feel better about my choices. But really, you can change the scene, but that doesn't always fix everything, especially if it's something mentally. So that's why lyrically in it, I say you'll never get away. Like, you can try to hide, but you'll never get away. Your problems are going to follow you wherever you go unless you actually face them and try to figure out a solution.
You mean like get away from yourself?
Yeah, man.
You can't get
away. Yeah, you get away from yourself. You get away, or you try to get away from a person or a place. You know, you can't get away from it. The best way to get away from it really is actually to face it. So that's what Getaway, it kind of kicked off this whole idea of healing for this album. Because that's what this whole album follows, is something called shadow work. And shadow work is essentially just trauma healing. You know, you heal these things from the past so you can reclaim your power, you can reclaim your strength. And that's what each one of these songs follows, something that I've dived into myself to figure out, whether it's something I like or something that I'm like, oh my God, that's part of my personality. That's what I try to be very vulnerable and raw. I think this is actually the most vulnerable and raw album I've made to date, in my opinion.
Well, the words, do you write them on demand for the situation, or do you have a notebook you keep or collect?
I tend to free flow lyrics as I'm writing. Usually a melody will just pop in my head, and I'll pick up my guitar and I just see where it takes me, and I'll record myself because I just do like a subconscious like train of thought, right? As I'm singing, these words just come out. I listen back to it. There's some things that I like, and I fill in the gaps of what I didn't feel like fit the vibe with things that I've written in my journals. So I don't start off with like, here's a set of lyrics, I'm going to write music to it. It's usually a free flow melody, guitar, and then I fill in any little, I usually kind of write a chorus hook just naturally when I'm writing, like in free flowing. And then I fill in the gaps for the verses and like the bridge or anything like that.
For example, at the beginning of the show, Give It All You Got.
The what?
At the beginning of the show, I played Give It All You Got.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah. That one is like my inspirational song, and also very much influenced by Michael Hutchence of In Excess. That's what I was trying to get my own version of, like, you know, new sensation in my own way of just diving in. You know, I'm just diving into this new way of as my career as a musician. And it could be cheesy, you know, give it all you got, you know, but it's true. I know at the end of the day, if I was honest, if I gave everything that I had inside of me to whatever the situation is or the performance, then by the end of the day, I'm fulfilled because I know that I really did my best.
Yeah, it's good for morale, spirit.
Yeah, it's important, and especially now as we're all trying to recover in some sort of way.
All the World's a Stage?
All the World's a Stage is about, you know how sometimes you could get in an argument with somebody or you're trying to explain your point. We all have our own views. We all are the stars of our own play. We can empathize, hopefully, with whoever we're talking to and see their side, but really we're like the main characters because it's our life. So All the World's a Stage, it's kind of reminding us that, yeah, we do have our own view, and sometimes it can be one-sided, but they have their view, and they see that they're right. So really there's no sense in driving yourself crazy and trying to make other people see your side if they don't want to, because they're just so stuck on seeing their own side.
I think William Shakespeare or whoever wrote those.
Yeah, words. Man.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Did a little sprinkle of Shakespeare, you know, but I think it's okay. I think
I think what he was trying to say, maybe, or whoever wrote that, there's a connection between art and what's not art.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the quote, All the World's a Stage, and all of us are merely players.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, because that's what it really is, too, right? You know,
perspective. Yeah.
Definitely. It's all about communication and connecting, because it's just human nature. You know, you want to be seen, you want to be heard, and that's what this whole life is about. It's just a series of connections.
So, The World's a Stage, Give It All You Got. Get Away. These are really, you know what I'm saying? There's the spirit of direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Not passive. Not just waiting for some nightmare or good stuff, whatever. It's taking action.
Definitely. That's what I feel like I woke up in myself, and that's what this album represents, is me finally taking action and following through on what I said I'm going to do.
Yeah, and so one day you did 6 of these songs?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had little pieces of ideas, and within a day I had the full arrangements down and the lyrics. So within like that week, I had like the guitars and the bass recorded.
Right. That's it. But not the words.
I pretty much had all the words done. Yeah, I think only one of the songs, Chasing Shadows and Break the News, those were two that I finished the day, lyrically, the day that I recorded the vocals.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
so the music informed the words. Like you said, you don't write on demand for the...
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's teamwork, you know. I free flow, and melodically there's something my mouth wants to do, and then when your mouth moves a certain way, it forms a word, a certain kind of word, and even if it sounds close to that word, I just round it out, you know. There's certain vowels that I notice as a singer that I favor more than others, so I just, like I said before, I just got out of my own way and just let it flow.
Okay, yeah. And being, you know, self-producing stuff, you know what you want, but at the same time, you want to stay out of your own way, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, because that's the thing, right? Whenever I talk to buddies and they're like, wait, you're producing yourself? What you got, the key thing to do, because it's possible to do it, right? But you got to know how to edit yourself. It's like, because usually artists want every nuance in there. They're like, no, that's just a key part of the song or blah, blah, blah. And the producer's supposed to come in and kind of like, no, do we really need that part? I don't think so. Or let's try this. So it's kind of like I tapped into like this schizophrenic kind of energy in my mind where I was able to like tell the artist, just trust me, like as the producer. And then as the artist speaking to the producer of, no, I really want to sing this part. So it was a bit of a mental division, a duality that I really tapped into of knowing, okay, let's walk away and then let's come back. Like I think I taught myself a lot about balance when it comes to writing music and producing music, not necessarily with my time management, but when it comes to the music part, I feel like I'm able to detach when it comes time to edit.
Sure, sure. We're at the end of the first hour, September 11, 2022, Dishwap Peters with special guest Nina Diaz. Hold tight for hour two. September 11, 2022, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
We had a little talk. We discussed a few things. We determined that we needed to find out which way the pendulum swings. Oh, but we couldn't agree on the difference between the ceiling and the floor. Let's talk some more. Talk some more. Yeah. No place to make a dovetail join. Ah, but we couldn't decide which one of us should stop at the liquor store. Let's talk some more. Talk some more. You finished some of my sentences, and then I finished some of yours. We talked about the various diseases for which they still ain't found no cure. No cure. Ah, doctors are working round the clock, but there's still no cure. That's a shame. Supposed to be keeping score. Let's talk some more. Let's talk some more. Yeah. Now we could stay silent from here on out and just gaze into each other's eyes. Never tell each other about our plans for the future. Make everything a big surprise. We could fly off the handle or fly by night or take a day trip down to Peru. I could work on the railroad or strum on the old banjo, a special number for you. Oh, but we got to remember, we mustn't forget, and don't you dare try to ignore. We need to talk some more. Let's talk some more.
inside.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Nina Diaz doing Personality Confession. Then Ben Salter with Apparently. Sam Bennett. Let's talk some more. Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Landmass Illusion. Curse of Lono. Think I'm All Right Now. And Nina Diaz with Angel Division. So let's talk about Personality Confession.
So Personality Confession is a song that was written actually, shoot man, like 10 years ago. It was going to be a Girl in a Coma song. So there was a time when I was writing, of course, collections of Girl in a Coma songs. And then when I became solo, it's like I had to divide between what's Girl in a Coma and what's solo. So now that I'm full-time solo, there's a good collection of tunes that never came to the stage with Girl in a Coma that I looked back at, and Personality Confession was one of them. And lyrically, I'm actually calling out a situation in time when I was in Girl in a Coma, you know, of how I felt the energy was with a particular member of the band, of calling them out, you know. And it's funny, when they would listen to it, it's like they didn't really pay attention to the words, but I'm basically telling them, you know, I'm over the over their games, you know, like I could see through it. I'm not gonna let you affect me anymore. Like you're saying everything without saying much, kind of thing. Just with your actions. And when I tapped back into it, I feel like even with this whole album, I went back to my roots of with Girl in a Coma, with distortion and having my guitar with me. And so I had fun with kind of that 90s alternative grunge sound with this song in particular. And really, it's kind of like my, you know, drop the mic song of I'm just telling it how it is.
Some band drama?
Yeah, you know, that's always that happens when you've been with somebody
for so
long.
I know all about it.
You know, man. You know.
I know all about it. So, but it's actually not your confession. You're asking for a confession from this band member.
In a way, though, Personality Confession is they've already confessed it. You know, like
by
I'm like
behavior.
Exactly.
And Angel Division.
So Angel Division, there was this movie, and it's escaping me right now. The title of it. It was a series of films about angels, and Christopher, the one, what's his name? The one Cowbell. Why is his name? Why am I forgetting his name? Christopher. The
Cowbell.
One that talks like this. What's his name?
Cowbell.
Cowbell. You know the Saturday Night Live skit? He's like,
oh,
I need more cowbell.
Cult, Don't Fear the Reaper song parody.
Yeah. What's his name? That actor, Christopher. Why am I forgetting? He's in Batman. Oh, God.
Albert Bouchard's a friend of mine. He actually played the cowbell on that song.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So you're talking name? About angels?
Well, yeah, because there's the reason why I'm talking about this actor is he's in this movie. He plays Archangel Gabriel. Christopher Walken, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Christopher Walken.
So he's,
yeah, Deer Hunter.
Yeah. Like, there's and the movie's starts with a P. I'm forgetting what it's called. But there's a series of it, right, of this movie about archangels, and they're trying to, like, save the child, like, the one that's going to save the world. But basically, there was this scene in one of the movies where the angel was asking the person, if you hear me, give me a sign. And that made me realize we always ask for signs from our spirit guides or God or, you know, please just give me a sign as humans, right?
Yep.
And the fact that this angel was asking the human to give them a sign, it's like this thing flipped in my brain that, oh, man. Sometimes they want to know that we hear them, you know, like that we're giving them a sign that we're here. I get what you're saying. I'm going to do it. But we always want. So in this one, it's like they like to give to them. So that's why the chorus of Angel Division is even angels need a sign. And it's also about. Like when I say restless nights, restless days, fight the fear, fill the rage, it's about empowerment too. empowerment of knowing that, you know, we can have these guides and the energy help us, but really we got to do the work too. You know, it's not just going to get dropped in our lap. And sometimes even if it is, do you make the most of it? So that's what Angel Division is the idea of it is, okay, here you go. You got what you wanted. What are you going to do? Like, are you going to ride with it? Are you going to take it for granted? And are you going to let your guides know that you're there with them and that you're not just thinking that they're going to fix everything for you?
Okay, I want to play Chasing Shadows.
Yeah. got long black curly hair.
Even though you told her once before, you could never love her.
Live for Pedro show. That chunk of music started with Chasing Shadows, Nina Diaz. Then Imbernon and Michael Vega doing the Illusion Empire. People are meddling in our own affairs from Henry Kaiser and Rome Yamalov. And finally, that this crazy feeling, Nina Diaz. Apparently, it's not a crazy feeling, but what is the crazy feeling?
You know, this crazy feeling, this is one because I tend to daydream and romanticize things, right? You know, a person or a situation. I don't know if it's the Pisces energy in me or what. Like, I'll daydream and romanticize. And in this crazy feeling, it's kind of like that side of me that can get obsessed over a relationship. And it's like on the verge of being a stalker, but you're still romantic and sweet. It's not so crazy. In a way where you feel like your life is at stake kind of thing. But it's kind of like my intense love song to whoever out there of I have this feeling that one day we will meet. You know, I keep, when I say she's writing another letter, it could be a literal letter or it could just be the thought and the words being said out loud and being sent out into the ether and hopefully it catches the ear of whoever it's supposed to catch. So it's like knowing that there's still hope that they're out there.
Catch. What about Chasing Shadows?
So Chasing Shadows is definitely my more sensual side of myself. Like I said, this whole album is about shadow work. And there was a time when I didn't have very much self-esteem. Even though I was the front person of this band that, you know, was getting a lot of attention. I would always have my hair in my face, or if anybody ever gave me a compliment, I would think like, no, I don't deserve that. You know, like a lot of people have that, right? And especially a lot of teens, you know. And I was a teen in Girl in a Coma, and so with Chasing Shadows, it's like I'm embracing my sensuality and my sexuality. And when I say a rush of what I used to be, there was a time too in my life when I was a little nesia, you know, like once I realized, oh, if I do this, I could get away with that. You know, you start to understand your power and your strength as a woman, you know, and it could go a little crazy at one point. But now it's like I feel like I've matured where I know how to balance my power and my strength, you know, depending on the conversation, and to have fun with my sexuality and, you know, with the relationships I have, where it doesn't have to be like, just give me what I want and then goodbye. Like, it's about like, well, let's both enjoy this, you know? So that's more of the sensual side of Nina.
Yeah. Titles come last or first?
They come last.
Yeah.
They come last.
Most people I have on the show is like that. Watt's got to always have them first because that's my little anchor, my focus.
That's cool. Technique. That's cool, man.
Yeah, everybody's got their own way. We're at the end of the second hour, September 11, 2022, with the Schwab Pedro Show special guest, Nina Diaz. Hold tight for hour three. September 11, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Breathless, him and I. Hand over hand, hand over hand, hand over hand.
Live for Pedro show. We started off the third hour with Holy Mary, Mother and Me, Nina Diaz. Then Thurston Moore and John Maloney with Nothing Glamorous, Tim Wholehouse, Yonder, and Sympathy from Nina Diaz. So, Holy Mary, Mother and Me.
So, I was raised Catholic. But not the kind where we had to, you know, we were going to church every single Sunday, but just the having the faith, you know. I had, there was pictures of religious figures in my home, and the rosary is very much a part of my family. And it just reminds me more so of my grandmother, of the connection to her, of saying my rosary. But personally, I've dipped around in all types of, you know, different religions, and, you know, you just try to see what makes sense for you. But the rosary is always something that I go back to as a touchstone. So when you say a rosary, you say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, you know, pray for our sins now in the hour of our death. Amen. And when I was saying my rosary, I thought about the mother in myself, like mothering myself, nurturing myself, and getting that strength from Mother Mary to show myself kindness. So it's kind of like, even though it's a rough song, it's still nurturing, you know, like when somebody's just trying to tell you what can help you, and but in a loving way, but also in a don't mess with me kind of way. I feel like that's what I tapped into with Holy Mary, Mother and Me. It's like I'm calling on my inner goddess, my inner nurturing nature, along with my inner badass of I'm here to help, but don't mess with me. At the same time, sympathy. You know, don't try to take advantage of me.
No. Self-defense is no offense.
Yeah, man.
That's a line from a pop group song, but it makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Sympathy.
Sympathy is also a song that at one point was going to be a Girl in a Coma song years ago. And that is yet another song lyrically of how I was feeling mentally in Girl in a Coma at that time, where when I say I'm not asking for your sympathy, all I'm asking is for, you know, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I just want you to see my point of view. You know, I want you to try to understand me. But then in the end, I see you're not even going to give me the time of day, are you? So I'm just going to go. You know, that's why lyrically I say, oh, I know I will go. And then the fear is here. It's drawing me near. Everything's all right. You know, when you tell yourself everything's all right, when it's really not all right. So that's what I'm kind of calling out in myself of that time of how you kind of make excuses for the people that sometimes don't have your best interests in mind. Because you think this is where I have to be. But now with the state of mind I'm in, I was able to rework it lyrically where I end up on top. You know, I end up, yes, I do get it. I do leave the situation for the betterment of my mental.
That's funny because the next song I'm going to play is Silly Situation. You want to give us heads up on that?
Yes. Silly. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Oh, my ears just decided to, like...
Go ahead. Nope, I can't hear you at all.
Okay, it just decided to, like, change... Can you hear me?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, Silly Situation is kind of like my homage to, like, the 80s new wave kind of vibe musically. And it was also about a relationship that I was in for a brief moment where you know that it's wrong to like this person, but you go ahead and like them anyways, knowing you're going to get your heart broken. So it's like you're aware that this isn't going to be the best thing for you, but you're just so caught up in the romance of it that you do it anyways. So that's what Silly Situation is about, is that we know sometimes we're doing something we shouldn't do, but we're going to have fun right now while it's happening. But I guess it's like being in the moment.
Yeah. Well, let's play.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lot from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Chuck started off with Nina Diaz doing Silly Situation. And then Tollum with I put my Shadow on the Wall. Phil Venable, Paul Swest duo with Objects Romantic. And finally, Break the News. Nina Diaz, Break the News.
Break the News, man. So, unfortunately, and I'm sure this happened with a lot of people, where either you lost somebody because of COVID, or maybe it was something else. You know, maybe, unfortunately, a lot of people's addictions came back to get them, you know, they probably had a hold on it before COVID, but they weren't able to go to meetings, or they didn't have that same support. And unfortunately, we lost them to whatever that addiction was. So I had a friend that passed away in October of last year, and it came as kind of a surprise because I had no idea that they were in this certain addiction that ended up getting the best of them in the end. And this was one song that I actually had my friend Diego Navarro help me finish, because I couldn't finish it. There was something in me that I would get so emotional even as I was starting to rework it, that I just couldn't get there. So he helped me to complete the song. And even when I performed the song, I kept myself in the end when I was singing the last lyrics, I started to cry. And I just kept it in there in the original recording, because that's what I was feeling. You know, that was the rawness of it. And it was very therapeutic, of course, as I was singing it, because I didn't realize until I was performing it how hard, you know, it hit me. You know, even to this day, you know, it's still something to process. You know, you want to be okay with it. You want to be at peace with it, but it still sucks, you know, when those people aren't here anymore, and you think, man, if only I had known, or if, you know, of course those thoughts come across your mind, like, should I have called more? Should I have said something? Like, and not to say that I would have saved their life, but at least so they knew there was at least somebody out there that cared, you know? So I think it's just a reminder that if somebody pops in your head a bunch, give them a call. You know, or don't always just deny or ignore a phone call, especially if it's somebody that you haven't heard from in a while.
A dangerous word is assume. My pop thought it was magic spelling. You know, make an ass out of you and me. He said, that's not an accident, boy. Does your studio, do you have a website for your studio?
Yeah, Beat Girl, Beat as in B-E-A-T, Girl Productions. .com. That's my website right now. I also have an Instagram for Beat Girl Productions, and it's going to be building, and by this time next year, it's going to be full on, like, professional. You know, right now it's chill, it's legit, you know, it's
doing
its thing.
When you said you're going to start recording other artists.
Yeah, man, I have my first artist set for when I get back to San Antonio, actually.
Right.
So it's happening. It's like, now's the time.
In that role, are you going to be just engineer, or are you going to produce too?
In this role in particular, it's mainly engineer. But since it's a buddy of mine, and they're open to hearing any, if I happen to have an idea, I'm not just going to say something, you know. But if something happens to strike me as I'm recording them, they've given me the room to suggest, you know, things as far as musically. But that's something, too, like whenever I have an artist in there, I'm not just going to automatically be like, I know better, listen to what I say. Whatever they want from me, I want to provide, because as an artist, it's like I know both sides now. Like, I know kind of how to communicate to the artist, singer, songwriter in
a
way.
Like, you have that song called Sympathy. You also got, because of experience, empathy. You can relate, to the artist.
Exactly, man.
Well, you know, it's been a big honor to have you on the show again and talk about this and your journey through music. Very interesting, very creative, and a lot to look forward to. So, when you get, you're probably thinking, I know this record's just come out, but you know how it is with us. We're already thinking of the next one, so I can't wait to hear.
And now that I know how to do it, man, I'm going to be releasing stuff all the time. You know? Now there's nothing. Now everyone's going to be sick of me.
I won't, Nina. Keep on keeping on, please. People, it's been September 11, 2022, a Dishwap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.